State Representative Ed Soliday has been busy working, I guess, on a compromise dealing with the transportation and infrastructure funding measure. Dan, fill us in on what Representative Soliday has been doing on that in late days here at the General Assembly.
Sure. The road funding measure it passed the House in February. It passed the Senate last week, and now it's in what's known as a conference committee, where a few lawmakers from both chambers get together and try to work out a compromise version of the proposal. The House version had a different mix of tax hikes and fee increases than the Senate version, and our Constitution requires that a bill pass both chambers with the exact same language to go to the governor. So right now they're getting together and trying to figure out what both chambers can possibly agree with. Since State Representative Ed Soliday from Valparaiso is the sponsor of the bill, he gets to lead the conference committee, and they had a public meeting yesterday to sort of talk about all of the issues that different legislators have, the things that they want to see in the bill, the things they don't want to see in the bill. They took public testimony. There was a lot of testimony in favor of the House bill, which initially puts more money towards roads than the Senate bill. And Soliday is going to work now pretty much behind the scenes to try and get everybody on board with a compromise plan that has to be reapproved by both chambers to go to Governor Holcomb for his signature or veto.
I know that some of Soliday's colleagues on the other side of the aisle, in particular State Representative Chuck Mosley of Portage, is putting in some his 2 cents worth into this, trying to make sure that the bill is stronger as far as the labor side is concerned. Tell us about what Representative Mosley is interested in.
Yeah, he really wants this to be focused on Indiana jobs. He's making the argument if Hoosiers are going to pay potentially an extra $1 billion a year in taxes, that money should go toward hiring Hoosier contractors and Hoosier workers to work on these road construction jobs. He doesn't want companies coming in from Illinois or Michigan or Kentucky, because realistically, there's going to be a lot of road work. You know, that's sort of the negative side of this. We're going to raise all your taxes, and then we're going to stick you in traffic for a few years while we repair all these roads that need help. So,
well, we asked for it, so I suppose we should
exactly.
We should be ready for it. It's not surprising, I guess. So any problems that we see ahead between now and the end of the session in getting this measure passed?
No, there does seem to be a lot of sort of general consensus that something needs to be done. Governor Holcomb has been very adamant that something needs to be done. He's even come out in favor of the tax increases, which is something his predecessor, Governor Pence, would never support. So it's an interesting time to watch, you know, what some people are calling tax and spend Republicans at the State House figure out among themselves how many different taxes they're going to raise.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of all this, too. Also on the topic of transportation in particular, rail transit, we know that there are measures that are going through the General Assembly now dealing with making sure that the funding is there to be able to do the expansion of the South Shore Line. And I know that Representative Soliday had made an amendment not recently to a Senate bill dealing with that. Tell us what Representative Soliday would like to see happen or not happen in that particular case.
Yeah. In recent weeks, Maryville and Gary have either signaled their intention to or have moved ahead on plans to try and reduce the amount of money they have pledged to help construct the Westlake extension of the South Shore Line. This is the expansion that would run from Hammond to Dyer. It needs a local match to go along with the $6 million in state money that got put in the budget in 2015 and is a reoccurring appropriation for the next 30 years to get the federal money that's going to pay for half of this project. So you need the local money, the state money, federal money to get together. But obviously, you need the money up front to build the rail line, so the Northwest Indiana RDA is going to bond for the money, borrow the money. And what they were saying is if Maryville and Gary and potentially other cities have the right to pull out of their contributions that they've pledged to make, the bond, nobody's going to buy the bonds because there's no guarantee that the money will be there to pay it back if any city can quit, you know, willy-nilly. So what Representative Soliday did and what the legislature approved was this thing they call an intercept provision, And if the RDA, so under this plan, if the RDA reports to the state treasurer that a locality isn't paying what it promised to pay, the state treasurer would withhold any money going through the state that would otherwise go to these local governments. And there's a lot of money that local governments get that flow through the state, if you think of local income tax revenue and just other grants and loans and other money that passes through the state, federal money passes through the state. So under this plan, the state treasurer would withhold any money that would otherwise go to that locality and send it over to the RDA to make sure that the bond payments are made, because the RDA is a state agency. So the loans are going to be made in the name of the state. So the state has an interest in making sure that those loans get paid off and the state's credit rating isn't harmed. And that's where they're going with that.
Now, do you think that maybe this particular measure is one reason why Lake County Councilman Jamal Washington, who wanted to do something as far as the county's a share of the money that has to go in to pay the Westlake expansion project, that way he kind of held back off on his resolution?
It sure seems that way. You know, Northwest Indiana things at the State House have a habit of kind of blowing up at the end, where when a prominent mayor of a large city says he's not getting everything that he wants, so let's just blow the whole thing up. That's happened in prior years. Representative Soliday, Representative Hale Slager of Schererville, who's the main sponsor on the South Shore stuff, they're pretty aware of that. That's going to be coming down the line, so they're trying to do everything they can legislatively to prevent that from happening this year.
Now, I suppose, too, that there are other measures that are concerned the South Shore line, in particular the Westlake project, part of the project, we should say. That's talking about the right of eminent domain that communities have to be able to take property to get projects done, and that carries through, I guess, as well on the state project and on this project as well, too. There's another measure I know that has gone through the House and I think is actually now headed to the governor's office for his consideration and possible signature that would deal with this eminent domain issue as far as the Westlake project's concerned, too. Tell us how that's kind of turned into another drama that involves Northwest Indiana lawmakers.
Yeah, this one isn't as serious, but Indiana, you know, has always been a very, let's say, business-friendly state, and the state's rail statutes haven't been updated in a long time, so there's some really loosey-goosey restrictions on rail lines and what they can do. Almost really under state law, railroads can use eminent domain to take pretty much any land they want in any way that they want. It's really open-ended. Representative Soliday even pointed out that if a railroad wanted to run a train through a state park under current law, that would be allowed. So what he is doing, what this legislation that just went to the governor yesterday is doing, it's putting the eminent domain process for rail projects under the federal standard, which requires a public use, so you can't just say, well, I want to run a train here.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a real public benefit to it. And it sort of changes how the property would be taken. Under state law, it's sort of a battle of experts. The federal one allows for a faster negotiation process that doesn't necessarily always end up in court. So, And to some extent, the federal appraisal standard has to be in place so the state can apply for the federal funds for the double tracking of the South Shore line between Gary and Michigan City, just one of the conditions of the project. So that will presumably help that project move along. There's also some lawmakers who were concerned about the potential freight rail line that's been talked about to run through LaPorte and Porter County, Southern Lake County, to go around Chicago into Wisconsin. And there's some thought that this legislation would at least give that company some pause in deciding whether or not they want to move forward with that project, which wasn't very popular with all the people whose land would be taken to build the train.
For people that maybe have forgotten about that project from last year, that's the one that the company called Great Lakes Basin Transportation is thinking about doing, and I guess it's kind of on hold now, but that's only on hold because the owner of the company has kind of put it on hold. It's still very much possibly alive, isn't it?
It is. This legislation would make it somewhat more complicated for them to possibly get all the land that they want or get as much land as they want. They would really have to show that they need a super wide corridor for their trains.
Now finally, Dan, we know that the number of measures that have been sponsored or supported by Northwest Indiana lawmakers are headed to the governor's office. Some have already been signed into law. In fact, you had a story in the Times not long ago about some of those, and there are more that are coming in probably just about every day as they move out of the Indiana House and the Senate. And there are some measures in particular. There's a Senate bill that is now headed to the governor's office dealing with schools and whether they're public or private, maybe also dealing with the issue of child abuse. Tell us where things stand, and there are a number of lawmakers here in Northwest Indiana that have signed on to that, which is a kind of a followed through on what the township trustee here in Lake County has pushed on, the No More Secrets measure.
Yeah, it's been a big project for North Township Trustee Frank Mervan to basically stamp out child sexual abuse in Northwest Indiana. What he was able to work with the legislators to do under current Indiana law, only students in grades 2 through 5 are required to get instruction in child abuse awareness and child abuse prevention. You know, if you know, they tell children, you know, what being abused is, how to call for help if they need help. But right now it's only in grades 2 through 5. The legislation that was approved yesterday by the Senate and that's now going to Governor Holcomb would expand that from kindergarten through 12th grade, so kids would be taught every year, or at least reminded every year, this is what abuse is. If you're being abused, here's who you can reach out for help. The measure specifies that it has to be age-appropriate instruction, so you're not going to get kindergartners necessarily learning about the same kind of sexual abuse issues that a 12th grader is going to learn about, and the goal really is to try and stamp out child abuse, child sexual abuse in the state, where it's really been going up. This has been a big issue for Chief Justice Loretta Rush. She noticed that in the last 5 years, the number of children in need of services who get referred to the courts because of abuse or, you know, parental drug abuse or, you know, just being in unsafe homes, it's doubled in the last 5 years. So it's a real concern here at the State House that Indiana's in the midst of this abuse epidemic, and how do we try to find a way to stop it?
Now, Dan, while we finish up here, we mentioned here earlier in the conversation about what the transportation, the infrastructure funding situation stands at right now. Is I'm sure as part of the overall state budget, we're down to the wire, and don't see any problems, at least as you see right now, in your opinion, on getting a new two-year state budget passed and set on to be approved?
It looks pretty good. It's, you know, unlike Illinois, Indiana doesn't seem to have the same kind of trouble passing a budget. Granted, everything here is under one-party control, so it's really a matter of tweaks on, you know, sort of final proposals as opposed to big philosophical battles about how the state should be spending its money. The budget does have money for the South Shore double tracking, similar to the Westlake money, it'd be $6 million a year for the next 30 years to fund on that project.
Mm-hmm.
The House did have money for a bioscience innovation building at Purdue University Northwest that got taken out by the Senate, so there's some negotiating going on with that. The Senate had some money to hold harmless East Chicago schools, which has lost a lot of students due to the city's lead crisis that the House didn't have. And East Chicago is also looking to get its loan. It took out some short-term loans to move out of Kerry Gosh and open up a new school,
right,
or reopen a closed school. And they're looking for some money there. And then, of course, there's what's going to happen with the Gary Public Schools. So they're still debating how exactly to manage that potential takeover by the state.
Do you think that's going to be one of those things that will come right down to the wire, down to the last day or last part of a day of the session?
Yeah, it's an interesting year because the mandatory adjournment date is April 29th, but lawmakers are looking to adjourn on April 21st because there's a big national firefighters convention that's going to take up all the hotel rooms in Indianapolis.
They'd like to get out of town. They'd like to get back home, I'm sure.
Well, that too. I mean, they've been at this for 4 months. You know, this isn't like Congress where they, you know, work for 2 weeks and then take 8 weeks off. I mean, this is grinding it out every day for 4 months. So, you know, they're not at the point where they're ready to be. They're sick. They're not at the point where they're sick enough of each other yet to like really be eager to go. But they're getting there, and then, you know, they just want to finish up these bills and, you know, resume their lives. I mean, they're putting basically everything in their life on hold for 5 months while they're working here at the State House.